This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
When you're looking for a football dissection, we have the perfect guy joining us right now. And good to have him back with us. Cincinnati guy. He's from Pro Football Focus. He is a data scientist when it comes to football. I mean, that's like what he does. He's Eric Eager. Eric, good to have you with us.
Hey, thanks for having me on. And, it's crazy that the season's already over, you know, for the regular season at least.
Tell me, was this Browns team derailed by injuries, or was this Browns team this season not that good?
I contend that this Browns team from player 2 to 53 was a pretty dang good team. There were some injuries, obviously. There's the Odell issues. But, you know, I think, you know, the hard part about football, and you know, and I think especially, you know, for Browns fans, especially since the team came back in 1999, you know, it's just frustrating when you can build a team that has a lot of really good players who are really valuable assets, and you know, ultimately it comes down to the quarterback play in a lot of situations. And you know, when your quarterback play, you know, was as spotty as it was this season, it comes down to a coin flip, and unfortunately, it came up tails for the Browns this year.
So off of that spotty quarterback play, I guess this is the chicken or the egg question more than anything. Do you think it is because of the play calling that the quarterback play was so spotty, or just the quarterback being banged up?
It's a great question. I think the quarterback being banged up is a big deal. I also think the quarterback being the kind of player who needed a good situation. So, you know, for example, with no play action this year, Baker Mayfield averaged 6.3 yards per pass attempt. You know what I'm saying? And so with play action, he averaged 10 yards a pass attempt. Last season, when he had no play action, he averaged 6.5 yards a pass attempt. So not really any different than the season before. When he played, you know, fairly well, good enough to get this team into the playoffs and to win a playoff game and to have Kansas City on the ropes in the divisional round. I think the play calling needing to be otherworldly to support a quarterback like Baker Mayfield is just a difficult place to be in year after year, right? Because as we've seen in Kansas City, as we've seen in Buffalo, even elite offenses and elite offensive play callers with elite players at the quarterback position, defenses catch up to that stuff. And you know, while I don't think the league is, you know, bending over backwards to stop the Shanahan, Kubiak, Stefanski offenses, I do think that, you know, if you depend upon that offense to be the sole, you know, sort of reason for a quarterback to be good, you know, year to year, you're going to deal with fluctuations.
Eric Eager joining us, Pro Football Focus. Eric, with that thought in mind and that thought out there, if you're Kevin Stefanski and you have a pretty good offensive line, and I want to ask you your breakdown on the offensive line in a second, and you clearly have good running backs, can you become a team that runs much more than it passes, say, you know, 30 run plays a game, 20 pass plays, 35 runs, you know, 20 pass plays? Would that work in today's NFL, and would it work for this team with these running backs and this quarterback and whatever they have at wide receiver next year?
I don't think you can win that way repeatedly. I think that you can, you know, and this is where I come down on the run game. I think, you know, if you're in a situation and Baker Mayfield's your quarterback and you didn't choose for that to happen, and you say, okay, well, you survey the list of things you can do, and Nick Chubb's a running back, Kareem Hunt's a running back, D'Ernest Johnson's a running back for your team, and you have that great offensive line, then I think running the football a lot is an optimal solution for the current roster you have. The corollary of that is not to say to build your team that way, right? When you have the freedom, you know, in the off season to sort of do what to allocate resources and to make decisions, I don't think you should build a team to be a run first team in the current NFL, because there's so many things that need to go right. And I think back to when Stefanski was the offensive coordinator of the Minnesota Vikings in 2019, when everybody said, oh, this is the formula. And you look back and say, well, the Vikings in 2019 faced seven backup quarterbacks that year. And so, yeah, a run-first offense is going to work because you're going to be ahead in a lot of those games, right? And you can play from ahead with that run-first offense. And a lot of that, you know, came true for Cleveland in 2020 as well. When you get into a situation where your schedule is a little harder, and every team, if you look at the AFC North, every team in the AFC North played a tough schedule. I have to pull this up here. The Browns played the middle of the pack schedule it ended up being this year. But like those kind of run first offenses don't play well when you're behind. And so, you know, that's where I think teams that sort of like put a ton of investment in the rest of the roster, but then have a quarterback and an offensive system that require you to, you know, to have a certain game state, those teams can oftentimes be left behind when the season doesn't turn out the way that it's supposed to. Whereas if you build more of a pass-first offense that can win independent of sort of circumstances, those are the teams that are a little bit more stable year to year.
Interesting. That makes a lot of sense. You know, where you're looking at a team like and you're looking at a team like Cincinnati that has figured out, okay, we have this porous offensive line, but we've got Joe Mixon and we can run the ball and that stuff, but we've got these three wide receivers and T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd and Ja'Marr Chase, and we could just send them down and let Joe Burrow pick these guys off. It makes a lot of sense how you lay that out. Do you think that is the optimal way to do it, is to get those offensive weapons, or do you think there's a hybrid in between there where maybe the Stefanski idea of, okay, here's these three tight ends and, you know, one or two wide receivers and we just run the ball and make it work through there can function and be a winning formula in the NFL?
I think it can win in a transitionary sense. But even just look at, like, this season has given us so many examples. Like, a month ago, the Indianapolis Colts were the team that no one wanted to play in the playoffs, right? And, you know, what we've seen in recent weeks is, you know, the Indianapolis Colts get behind in games, and they get behind the games to Jacksonville. And, you know, when you require a quarterback who's sort of in that mid-tier, maybe a little bit below in the case of Carson Wentz, you know, just drop back and throw when everybody knows you're going to throw, that A, is not something you're comfortable with as an offense, and B, it's not something you're good at as an offense. And so, you know, for the longest time, it's like, oh, you know, is the Colts formula the one that can win? And, you know, I think it can win in short spurts, and we've seen it. Like, you know, the Nick Chubb carrying this Cleveland Browns team on its back worked for an extended amount of time during the course of the last three seasons, four seasons even. But ultimately, it can't be a sustainable thing, and I don't think that's how you should build an offense. Can you have an offense that, you know, is good at that when it does? Yeah, and when you're Cleveland and you've done a great job, in my estimation, of allocating resources, and you're never up against the cap, and you have, you know, good draft capital, and you don't flippantly trade your picks and things like that, you can supplement, you know, the broader scheme with tight ends and good running backs and stuff like that. But it shouldn't be what you sort of build your identity on, I don't think, because ultimately that identity is dependent upon, you know, sort of, it's that classic, you know, Jonathan, the Colts are 9-0 and Jonathan Taylor runs for 100 yards and 0-6 when he doesn't. It's like, well, no, that stat's about being ahead in the first place, you know. And so your goal to build a team should be to get ahead in the first place. And then, yeah, if you want to supplement resources for being amazing when you're already ahead, then be my guest. And I think the Browns are in that area because they're so, I think, sharp as a front office right now. But that shouldn't be how they build their core identity as a team, in my estimation.
Eric Eager joining us, Pro Football Focus. So let me ask back-to-back questions then. If you think that the running game's not the way to build long-term for sustained success, that means you have to have the quarterback. Do you have the quarterback here in Cleveland right now to build the type of offense that you think you need to have for sustained success in the NFL from all of your data?
I think this is going to hurt. This is going to hurt a little bit because of the history of the position, because Baker's been the best quarterback they've had, you know, since they became a franchise again in 99. But the answer is no. I mean, we've seen this song and dance happen a lot where, you know, I'm not saying Baker Mayfield can't be a good quarterback, and I'm not saying he can't be a serviceable quarterback. I'm saying, you know, you're already now on year five. You're on his fifth-year option. We've seen what has happened to teams like the Minnesota Vikings. Kirk Cousins is a great quarterback. He's not good enough, though, to make $35 million a year because you have to supplement the rest of the roster. That roster is already good for Mayfield, and they're still struggling. You know, he's not able to sort of use that. Imagine if he's making, you know, three times as much, how many of those guys have to go and how much Baker's going to have to make up for it, right? And that's where you've seen, you know, teams like the Minnesota Vikings fail with Kirk Cousins, the Eagles fail with Carson Wentz, the Rams fail once they paid Jared Goff. All those guys are great on rookie deals where you could build a roster around him. The bar is a lot lower. But once that guy becomes the high-paid quarterback, the bar is so much higher. That guy's got to be a guy that elevates the play around him as opposed to being a guy that drives the car. And, you know, to me, I think Mayfield could be a great sort of like middle-of-the-pack quarterback. The problem is there aren't any middle-of-the-pack quarterback contracts in the NFL. And so to me, that means that they have to go back and try something else. And, you know, and I know people are going to bristle at that, but, you know, failure at the quarterback position when it's through the draft is cheap. When it's through a veteran who's paid a lot of money, that's where it gets expensive.
Wow. Any chance you develop a second tier of quarterback pay?
I hope so. I certainly do, and I think you saw a little bit of it with Jameis Winston and Ryan Fitzpatrick this year, starters making like a little bit less. But make no mistake, the only quarterback in this current CBA who signed for less than sort of the max deal with the team that drafted him was Blake Bortles. And you know that Mayfield's agent is not going to ask for the Bortles contract, right? And because he's certainly better than Blake Bortles. But it often ends up becoming what Dak Prescott and Josh Allen and those guys all signed for. And I think most Browns fans would admit that Baker's not on that level either. And so that's where the trickiness comes in. There's a humongous gap between, you know, what the starting quarterbacks who are veterans are paid and what the sort of backup middle-tier guys are paid. And I don't think Mayfield falls into either one of those categories.
Last thing, Eric. You guys have the Browns' offensive line is highly thought of. You guys have them ranked eighth at your end of the season, regular season rankings. But you had Jedrick Wills, the lowest rated of the regular starters. Is there an issue there? Is he a young guy who can develop, or do you think that you might have missed in the first round on a left tackle?
Well, his pass blocking grade 77.6. It was last year, which I think you can build off of. This year it's 67.9, so it went down a little bit. His run blocking grade actually improved from year one. I just think, it takes a lot of time for offensive linemen to develop, and so he's been okay the first 2 years. It's a good line too. So the fact that he's the worst member of it is not necessarily being the worst member of like a Jacksonville Jaguars offensive line. So I think there's a lot of potential there. They should certainly stick with him. And, you know, there's also an aspect of just losing guys like Conklin as well, where it just makes life harder on the rest of the line as well, because now you're not able to help Wills as much because you have to help the replacement to the other side of the field. So, I think he's fine. I think, you know, he hasn't been a disaster, the way that some tackles have. He just hasn't been brilliant the way that, Wills was or Tristan Wirfs was. For Tampa Bay. So it's somewhere in between.
Eric, always a pleasure to have you with us. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, man. It was a blast as always, and good luck to your Chiefs.
Thanks for having me on, guys. Take care.
Eric Eager, Pro Football Focus, and you can follow Eric on Twitter at @PFF_Eric.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh,